Dale Stevens is back. It's the Double Dale Kōrero, and good to have you with us again. Tēnā koe, hoa. Good on you, mate. Good to catch up with you again. Of course, Dale has a lot of experience, as you know, in our Māori tourism sector and also trade and enterprise, but he's also standing for Christchurch Central at the election for National. So everyone knows he's upfront with all of this kaupapa too, and I respect you for that, Dale. Thank you. Well, listen, let's talk firstly about COVID restrictions. You and I have discussed this a long time and the effect it has on tourism and the effect that it has had on Māori tourism over the last few years. Finally, the restrictions have been lifted. Dale, what's your initial whakaaro, Dale?
Look, I have to say, first and foremost, great that the restrictions have been raised because we need as a country to get on. And I have absolute sympathy for those who are suffering from COVID, who have long-term effects from COVID. I look at what's happened globally and countries and the speed of recovery, and we are certainly not at the speed of recovery that we need as an economy and a society to reintegrate properly. So I guess the question I have is, why are we removing restrictions now when if we'd removed them 3 weeks ago, we would have had more people coming in for the FIFA football tournament because we know from some of the research we've done that people have decided to go to Australia because they didn't want the risk of having to self-isolate if they got COVID while based in New Zealand. So I do wonder about the timing of it. When we look at other countries, I think we could have lifted this probably October, November last year during a warm part of the year when disease is less prevalent. Removing it in winter, when disease is more commonplace and people are unwell, it just doesn't seem the right time for me.
Oh, fair enough, too. The FIFA tournament has brought a lot of attention to New Zealand. When it first started, I didn't realise just how significant a role we would play as co-hosts, but the numbers turning out and the international attention to our country, I mean, you couldn't buy the sort of advertising associated with our co-hosting rights, eh?
You're right. However, I do wonder about the wider strategy. We know that the government has spent around, I think it's about $55 million they've put into the cost of hosting the event, which I think is around $20 million on upgrading venues, which is great because that's long-term benefit to our communities. But then when I look at the effect on tourism numbers, so when you have a major event in a country like we've got, that becomes the reason why people come to the country. So they won't come... if they were going to come to New Zealand at some stage, this is now their reason. So it creates a downside either side of a major event for tourism because those people who might come in the summer came now. They were focused on a particular event. So it, in a roundabout way, it means that some of our tourism operators, and especially our Māori tourism operators, have missed out on a direct benefit now because of the football, and downstream they're potentially missing out on benefits as well through those tourists not coming later on. So I wonder if we could have done a better job. I know that in Australia there's been a lot of work done around Indigenous development around major events coming into Australia so that the events are used as leveraging opportunities for promoting Indigenous business, promoting tourism to regional areas away from the main cities. I wonder if we might have missed the trick in not being so upfront and promoting the rest of our country, and especially for our Māori tourism operators.
Tēnā koe. I see you've been inside the Christchurch Cathedral.
Yeah, I have actually, and look, it was quite fascinating. For those of you not from Christchurch, it was quite a debate down here for some years as to whether we should pull it down, reconstruct it, move the centre of the city to another part of the city. So once the decision was finally made and getting on with it, there are now around 130-odd staff working inside the cathedral daily, and they're doing, they're actually calling it a project by millimetres because they're actually taking every single block ultimately out of the cathedral, numbering and coding them. They're building an internal skin of the cathedral, which will be the frame at which they will then tack all the original cathedral back on the outside. So that's a simplistic explanation for an amazing amount of work that's being done, and it's probably got another 3 years to go. But they really are doing some great work and restoring it because, you know, it's a taonga for Christchurch. 700,000 visitors per year pre-earthquake would make that the top tourism destination in the area. So It's great to see we're finally making progress on it.
Tēnā koe, just finally, brother. Look, obviously, when the Christchurch quakes came through, we learned a lot about how to respond to a natural disaster. What do you think we learned in Ōtautahi that we could utilise better, perhaps even 6 months on from the floods and the cyclonic activity predominantly on the North Island's east coast?
A great question, and in fact, I've been in a number of discussions just recently with geotech, with engineers, about the learnings from Christchurch, and the concern that they've got is that, I guess the main learnings from the Christchurch earthquake in terms of the cleaning up and providing support to communities and affected whānau is, I guess, around the process between the insurance company, the EQC, the communities, and how to get that process right. Now, the concern that I had expressed to me just 24 hours ago was, in fact, what's happening in the North Island with recovery from flooding is that the process that's got cleaned up and clarified in Christchurch is not being used up in the North Island. And the real concern is that some of the structural and process problems that have caused ongoing litigation in Christchurch and issues for whānau, if we're not careful, that's going to be repeated in the North Island. So there are some very clear learnings around how to deal with the insurance companies, the relationship between the government and the insurance companies, but they're not being, the learnings haven't been necessarily picked up for our people in the North Island, and we've got to be very careful to get that right.
Thanks for sharing some kōrero, mate. All the best. We'll talk again soon. Dale Stevens joining us, talking trade and also politics as well. Thanks so much, Dale.
Kia ora.
Tēnā koe. You're 603 844.